All right, we welcome you, Bible Way Church, to our prayer meeting video this week. We thank the Lord for these that have gathered tonight to help us in the service. We got Brother Coulter with us tonight, and Brother Steve and his precious wife, Sister Cindy's with us tonight. We've been trying to get her to sing, but she's declined so far, amen. But we appreciate Brother Jim and Brother Richard. They've been a great blessing getting the videos and the audio tapes out. We're thankful for that. I'm going to give you some prayer requests tonight, and then Brother Coulter's going to come and pray. And we've got some exciting announcements tonight to make. It'll take a little bit longer to make the announcements, but we're excited about it and thankful to the good Lord. Let's remember Samantha, the little five-year-old baby we've been telling you about that's at Vanderbilt. Please continue to pray for her. It can't be too many more weeks, and she's going to have that heart surgery. The little youngin' needs our prayers. Sister Mandy Hagee's improving, but we still need to remember her in prayer, please. Brother Brian, he's been doing the Sunday school videos and doing a great job, if he can remember to turn the camera on. But anyway, I appreciate Brother Brian, and it shouldn't be too long. I haven't spoken with him, but it shouldn't be too long, maybe after the 1st of May, that he'll be traveling back to Texas. I'm not sure about that, but anyway, pray for Brother Brian. Sister Margaret, Ketron, and Brother Zeke both need our prayers desperately. These folks are precious to us, and they're going through some physical things right now that are just really not good, and they really need our prayers. Please remember Brother Larry Hilton in prayer. Brother Allen and Sister Sabrina Davis, they're locked in. Our missionaries to the Bronx and New York, remember them. Sister Rhonda Tiller, Sister Ruth Johnson, please remember these. Remember all of our folks that are up in years. Please pray for our country, all of our missionaries, our healthcare workers, and our first responders. And then let's pray one for another, that God will just help us to be a blessing to each other in these days. Brother Jim's mom, Sister Pansy, and Sister Reba, they're down in Crown Cypress. Let's remember them in prayer. Let's remember the men who are incarcerated. Coulter, I was looking, and the COVID-19, this virus, it is a couple of our, I think Bledsoe was one of them. It's flared up pretty bad in there. I believe there's over 500 men that have it in Bledsoe. Let's remember these men, remember the guards, and pray that somebody through all of this will be thinking about eternity. None of us are going to be here forever, but all of us are going to be somewhere forever. And I thank God because of Calvary, I'll be in heaven when I leave this world forever. Let's pray for these men. The ministry of the Salvation Army, Brother Steve was telling me just a few moments ago that they've expressed once again their appreciation to the church. And I want to express my appreciation to each one that's worked with the Next Meal Packs. And Brother Steve informed me that they are serving hot meals again. That's a blessing. Maybe in May, we'd have an opportunity the last Sunday in May to participate once again in serving those precious people. I want to make mention of this before Brother Coulter comes to pray. The offering last month and this month both have just been tremendous. It's just like we've been here every service. And to God be the glory for that. A couple of different ones have called me, and they didn't make it in Sunday, but they're gonna give their offering, and we're just grateful to God. And Brother Gary wanted me to let everybody know what a blessing it is. I did hear this. I won't say what church. That's not what's important. But a man told me yesterday that they were really struggling, and I've told this church for years that it's an unusual place around here. And we're grateful that people love Jesus. And I appreciate people that love their pastor and love each other. There's nothing in this world that pleases a pastor anymore than seeing his people love each other and work together to get the job done for the glory of God. I appreciate you so very much. All right, Brother Colt, if you'll come, brother, you're going to lead us in prayer. Read this verse of Scripture for us. We appreciate you so very much. I wanted to hug his neck, and I forgot. Amen. God bless you. Come on, brother.
Don't feel bad, preacher. I want to hug your neck too. I saw this verse just the other night, and it just touched my heart. It's here today also. And it says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From hence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." And I know my Lord sees everything, and He knows what's going on. That's for the lost and the saved. And for the lost, He'll line up the saved to get in their path. And for the saved, He'll let them lean on one another. And even though He sees it, I can't help but think that sometimes, I know I was in a situation, but my brethren will ask Him to, not just to look on it, but to intervene. I had a situation a little while back. It was nothing horrific or anything, but it was a situation. I found out later that a great many of my church family was a-praying, and people were a-praying. And that situation 360'd. It's a 360'd. It was a small thing, but the Lord, He cares about the little things. He's so wonderful. They try to rob Him every way they can, the enemy, and they call it COVID now instead of Corona. Corona's Latin for crown. Well, you can change the name, but it still had to go across the king's desk. And the Lord, He's so good, and He knows it, and there's glory to be had from this. It don't feel like glory, but there's glory to be had for this. There's going to be people that said, I never thought about dying until this came about. And I believe when it's all said and done, there'll be men and women get saved. And I know one thing, it sure is easy to give out a gospel tract right now. You ain't supposed to get within 6 feet of them, but you hand that out, they'll take it. Before I get too wound up, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll stick Him on Brother Steve. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, Lord, I thank You for Your sweet blessings, God. It's so good to see Your people, Lord, and I missed Your people, God. I'd like to see the rest of them, Lord. Hey, Lord God, I thank You for Your blessings upon this old boy, Lord, and I thank You, Jesus. Oh, God, even with this sickness, You're still good. And, Lord, I can't help but notice it as we listed the prayer request, Lord, that the whole country's looking on this sickness and on this here infirmity, God, but all the other infirmities are still going on. People still have cancers, Lord. There's still the old babies with sickness, God, like they've always had. That little old baby, Lord, when You formed her little heart, let it beat. You knew that it was going to need an operation, God. And You knew that when You formed it, I ask You to touch that little baby, Lord. I ask You, God in heaven, You bless Miss Mandy and the older people in the church, Brother Miss Martin, Zeke, Lord God. I ask You to touch them, God. And I ask You, Lord, Your people, God, that we can't congregate together and our spirits bear witness with one another like they did, God. But I know one thing, Lord, Your spirit can still bear witness with us. And I ask You, God, this night You'd meet with Your people, God, that claim You across the land. Let them go to their prayer closets, Lord. Let them get dust off the old altars, Lord, and the family altar. Oh, God, and give You glory from our homes. And I thank You, Lord, for the technology, Lord, that we can still have services, Lord. And I ask You, God, You bless Brother Steve as he gets up here, Lord God. And, oh, Your anointing fire be on him, Jesus. And, oh, God, that the sinner closest to hell would hear the message, Lord, and be saved. Oh, I thank You, Lord, this night. Thank You for this service. Oh, and Your people. Amen.
Thank You for the Coulter. What a blessing, amen, to be able to pray and know the God of heaven is hearing us. We've got some announcements to make tonight. We're going to share those with you and pray the Lord will just help you to understand and help you to just agree to help us any way that you can, amen, in these days. First of all, about the virus, follow the guidance and avoid exposure. They want everybody to try to maintain 6 feet of social distancing. That's important. The mask, I'll be saying a little bit more about that in a moment. We need to be as careful as we possibly can. I will say this, if you don't have a mask and you need one, please let Pastor know. I have several different places where I might be able to get some help, but please let me know if you don't have a mask and you need one, okay? We're going to be restarting, and this is where I guess we're going to take quite a bit of time tonight. The governor has turned us loose if we can maintain the distance and things like that. And so this coming Sunday, let's go to the next slide. Thank you, brother. This coming Sunday, we're going to be having service at 11 o'clock. We're going to start up slowly. We're doing that on purpose. And let me just give you several things that's going to be maybe a little bit different around the church. To start with, we're not going to have Sunday school. What we're praying is that maybe between Brother Steve and Brother Brian and Brother John, maybe we can continue through the month of May to have Sunday school through the video broadcast. But we're not going to have Sunday school on the grounds. We're going to meet with one service, try to start up slowly on Sunday. And then also on Wednesday nights, we'll be able to have prayer meeting. There's a method to my madness with this, and that is the germs can live on the surface for a few days. But after a couple of days, they couldn't live between Sunday and Wednesday night. And so we're going to start up slowly and prayerfully. And then maybe in the month of June, we may add something else, add Sunday school. Just go from there and see what the Lord does. Okay, so that's about the date. When you come to church, every other pew is going to have a little rope at the end of it. And you're not going to be able to sit except every other pew. And what we'd like to do, if there are families that are spending time together at home, anyway, then fill up a pew. But if there are, for example, maybe two couples, then there can be a couple on one end of the pew and a couple on the other end of the pew. If there are individuals, there's enough room on the pew to put one on each end and one in the middle of the pew. And just show respect one for another. If somebody needs to get out, just stand up and step back away from them. That would be a blessing. The doors here at the church, most of the doors are going to be open, propped open. The entrance doors, we're only going to be using three entrances, and that would be the vestibule, both sets of doors at the vestibule, and then over where the children's church is, or the old fellowship hall. People coming in from the shelter end of the parking lot can use those, and hopefully we're going to have someone, I believe we will, there at each set of doors, those three entrances, to open the door for you and allow you to go in without even having to touch the door. And they said that's the major way this is spread, is by one person touching something, another person touching something. And so I'm giving you that. We're going to try our best to take care of the doors, the restroom doors, the way our restrooms are laid out. It's right. You can't see into them. And so they're going to be open, and when a person finishes at the restroom, they can wash their hands, come right back to their seat, and be good to go. If you would like to bring a little hand sanitizer, I brought a big one, but if you want to bring a little hand sanitizer, put it in the back of your pew in the songbook rack, that would be perfectly acceptable and encouraged if you want to do that. As far as masks, we're not requiring masks. But if you want to wear a mask, you're welcome to. I'll say this, if you're 65 years old or older, you're the most vulnerable according to what the doctors are telling us. And so we would certainly understand if you want to wear a mask. And we would also understand if anybody in this church, whatever their age, is not comfortable coming right now. No one's going to be on you or thinking bad about you. We want you to use your own judgment. We're hoping we can get opened up and things get going. But anyway, we just wanted to let you know. Now, the choir will not be singing. We're going to meet on Sunday morning. We're going to have church. We'll be doing a lot of congregational singing. And I've got some things in my mind that might make that a lot of fun and along the way. But anyway, we're not going to have the choir because we're on top of one another and there's no way to distance in the choir. When we start back up, I'd like for one pianist to play the piano through the entire service. What I mean by that is I don't want the ladies coming one behind the other. I just think it's wisdom. We'll take turns. God's blessed us with talent, and we're looking forward to getting back together. As far as the vans, I'm going to be talking with Brother Kenny and Brother Michael. I have some things on my heart concerning that. Children's Church, we'll be talking with Brother Aaron about separating the chairs out, making sure that they maintain the distance in there. A couple other things, the water fountains. Most of the businesses, if you've noticed, have just closed the water fountains off. Well, I believe I have a way that we can get a drink of water without endangering anybody. There's going to be a little paper towel holder there. You could take a paper towel, push the button with the paper towel, catch the water in a cup. Drink your water. If you want another cup, drink another cup. Throw the cup in the paper towel in the trash can. It'll be right there by the water fountain. So we're hoping and praying that everybody can do that. We're going to need some ushers. I'd like for the ushers to do several things. Number one, they're going to take up the offering. Number two, out of that pool of eight ushers, I'd like to get somebody manning those three doors. I'd like for them to be here early. If you're going to open the door for people, you can't get here 5 minutes till 11. You need to be here about 20 till at the latest, amen, if you're going to open the doors of greet people. And also on Sunday, when we do the bulletin, the people that are opening the doors will also be handing out the bulletin. Brother Houston does a great job, some of the other men, but we want to make sure that we maybe get some younger men that are not so much endangered by the virus. And I believe, Brother Steve, you put it up there, men between 20 and 60. So that means I could be a doorkeeper if I could, amen. The Bible said over in the book of Psalms, let me read this to you, it'll be a blessing to you. Said, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. So it'd be an honor to be a doorkeeper here in the house of God. I'm going to make this announcement tonight. I believe I'm on track. If anything changes, I'll let you know. I don't see any way possible right now at this time to have Bible school starting June the 8th. I believe what we're leaning towards is perhaps later in the summer, a one-day Bible school, a Saturday, a big day. Start at 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:30, maybe something like that, and go to 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. Feed the children in the middle of the day. Have three or four different Bible studies, three or four different game times. Have some skits and things here in the auditorium. I believe it'll be a blast, amen. A lot better than nothing. And we want the kids to know that they're important, but I see no way to get a Bible school together right now with the requirements, with the distancing, and the things of that nature, okay? All right, I believe that's about everything that I've got. I'm going to be putting out a phone call and encouraging everybody to watch this video. You say, preacher, why would you do that? Well, if you watch this video, you get to hear Brother Colt pray. You get to hear the announcements. You say, why didn't you do that on the phone? I didn't do that in 120 seconds, and that's all they allow me on the phone, amen? And so that's why I didn't do it on the phone. And then you get to hear Brother Steve bring the lesson tonight. And Brother Steve, I'll tell you publicly, before God and everybody, you're a blessing to this pastor. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You come on tonight, brother, and we're going to be enjoying and be thrilled with what God's given you. Share that with us tonight. Appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that. I tell you what, being here with Pastor Vinoy and Brother Coulter, it feels like inviting a guest to your house, and you're serving them hot dogs when you got steak on the grill. So, you know, kind of hate that. But if you would, turn in your Bibles this evening, and we're going to take our thought this evening from the 127th Psalm. I think it's going to go well with kind of some of the things going on in the world around us today. I appreciate what the pastor said, and just would call attention to a lot of men have put a lot of time into thinking about what we're going to do when we get here on Sunday. So I would encourage our folks to be here early. before 11 a.m. And I know that people sit different places, and you got a Bible here and you got a Bible there and that type of thing. Just come a little early and collect those things up and move them to the areas where you will be sitting. And appreciate all the thought that goes into that. We'll all cooperate, Pastor, you know, with that. And then the other thing is, he was talking about Vacation Bible School, VBS. I tell you what, this year we'll work with Brother Brian, and why don't we make it VBS, and it'll be Vacation Bible Saturday. Still VBS. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll just kind of condense all of that excitement from that week down into one day, and what a blessing that will be. And I can tell you, folks, as we said here tonight, and I think there's six souls in this building that I know of, it will be really, really great to have people back here again. About 6 weeks in this empty auditorium, Pastor. We're here twice a week, and we'll sure be glad to have the folks come back. Well, I want to bring a thought tonight from a message. I'd ask God, you know, what would you have me to do? Sure appreciate Brother Vinoy letting me, you know, have time in the pulpit and participate in the ministry of this church, not just this week or the last 6 weeks, but the last 5 years, basically. And I was asking the Lord, I said, what would you have me to do? And the area that he gave me guidance was a version of a message I had given several years ago. And it was interesting because I thought about the message and I remembered, well, I had a bunch of, I had notes on that. And it's in, I keep this big plastic tub. It's about that thick and about that long. And keep it in the house. And Pastor, I don't know what you do with your notes, but when I collect a bunch of notes, Cindy or Chloe, they tell me to clean up, and I put the notes into the tub. And to find this particular sermon note, I had to go to the very bottom of the tub. It literally, Cindy helped me, and we spent quite a bit of time going through Brother Coulter these lessons, and that was encouragement to me, because, you know, you look at stuff that God has given you over time, and you think, well, you know, that was a good message, and you know, it gives you a little more of a feeling of satisfaction. But the thing is, as I was looking for this note, I ran into, Cindy actually discovered it, some handwritten notes from young men who'd been in our youth group 15 years ago, things that they had put out, you know, prospects and things they wanted to do, goals, what I'm trying to say, and I found those, Pastor, and we're going to be mailing those back to them. So I think not only was the thought this evening maybe what the Lord had in mind, but I think he wanted me to find those things that I could send them back to him. So the 127th Psalm, a beautiful psalm, only five verses in it, and I want to read this to us this evening. Real simple thought, and I'll try to be quick this evening, but 127th Psalms, it says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to set up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." Now, our thought this evening comes from the third, fourth, and fifth verse. "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gate." And let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for the privilege to stand here, Lord, in what's this relatively empty auditorium one more time. But God, the next time we get together, it won't be empty. And Lord, I'm thankful that every time we've gathered, Lord, you've been here right here with us. Always felt your spirit, Lord. And even though it's so different to just to speak to the camera, God, you've been here giving us direction. So many good messages that we've heard from Brother Vinoy and so much appreciated Brother Don McCann and Brother Aaron last week, Lord, and Coulter and all of these who've participated. Thank you, God, that we're not limited by the circumstances of life, that you will reach out to your people through the channel that you make available. Lord, we thank you, and we pray that you'll be with the message this evening. Give us clarity of thought. Lord, help us to bring this simple sermon, we pray. These things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. So my thought this evening is the making of an arrow. And it's an interesting thought, I think, that God talks about the value of children, the family that we have, that children are a blessing, children are a responsibility, children are a joy, that they bring happiness to our life. And I've heard several people as we went through this shelter-in-place thing, and we're going to call it now effectively 6 weeks, whatever duration that is, and it's going to be different for different families depending on the circumstances. But I've heard so many people in the secular world say, by now you really figure out if you love your spouse and if they love you, and if you know, and how you're getting along with your children. And I'm going to say that overwhelmingly, the things I've seen in the last several weeks have been so positive. We see children doing things with their parents, and we see families coming together the way that God intended for it to be. I hope that has absolutely been the case at your family. And I know people get out and they take a walk and they go to the different ends of the same house so they can have, you know, quiet time separate and that type of thing. But it's really been a gift that God has given us to remind us of the most important things that we have, you know, our relationship with God, our faith, our belief that He's going to carry us through difficult days, and the value of family. We begin to look at these scriptures, and the psalmist here, a song, 127 songs, a song of degrees for Solomon, and we see this third verse, and it's written, it says that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb, children, is His reward. And the first thing we would see this evening is that children are a gift. Children are a gift. Now, I realize that children can be expensive. And if you think children are expensive, wait until they become teenagers. And then if you like that, if you have a daughter, wait until it's time for her to get married one day, and you'll understand what expensive looks like. Now, I haven't hit that marriage thing. I've got a while on that. But I'm telling you that regardless of what children cost and the responsibilities and the work that they take, children are a gift. And we ought to treat them like that. Children are very precious. They grow up very quickly. And when you begin to look at this word that it says that children are a heritage. Heritage, if you look up the meaning of it, it's a valued object. It is something that is very special, something that has a unique position in your life. And I began to think recently, I had a simple accident last year, and it put me down for a little while, and it wasn't necessarily life-threatening, although I thought at times, you know, some of my family might kill me, after as I was in the recovery, but it really wasn't a life-threatening injury. But it caused me to realize that, you know, at 58 years old, I'd never made a will. And I'd always said, well, I'll make a will one day, I'll make a will one day, I'll make a will one day. Well, the thought came to me while I had this downtime, and I was riding that leather recliner, the leather prison I called it, I should make out a will. And here was the most interesting thing about it. When I sat down with a very short piece of paper, I could have written on the post-it note, I realized I really don't have anything that's of great value. I've got wrenches that my boys might want, and, you know, I've got almost nothing really that the world would place a great value on. Made the list real easy. But what I did realize is what I really appreciate: my wife, my children, my church, my spiritual heritage, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the Bible, the Word of God, and the change it's made in my life. And it really began to cause me to think about what a gift my children are and what a gift my children have been. I think about the people I've ministered to and the three different churches where I was able to participate as the youth director, and that's back when I was young. I saw a picture of myself yesterday, and I said, wow, look at that, no gray hair. Well, I can't say that anymore, but I can tell you that the young people I worked through the years, they didn't give me gray hair. They gave me great joy. I begin to think about how God has given to families and how many people would love to have a child, would love to have that young person in their home to fill their day, and someone to nurture, someone to look after, to bring this tender little person into your life and love on them and help them reach their potential. What a gift that is from God. If we were to go back to the creation of man, Adam and then Eve taken from his side, and look at the sin that they brought into the life. I brought a message on that recently. We see that at the end of the third chapter, God has done what God had to do. He has given an animal sacrifice, and He's given a blood atonement, as it were. He has shown great grace and mercy to Adam. He's pushed him from the garden. And it's amazing to me that when we look at the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, the first thing that we see mentioned there is that Adam and Eve were given the gift of a child. God had to take away from them because of the sin they had these wonderful things that he had intended for them in the Garden of Eden. But what did he give back? So many things, but the first that was recorded was a child. I think about how good God has blessed families, and now we have our first grandson, and Cindy got to spend time with him over the weekend, and we got to spend time with him, and what a blessing he is. He's only a few months old, and now he's starting to grab for things, you know, and he's eating rice pudding. You'd never think that rice pudding would make anybody happy. It makes him happy. Makes me happy that he's eating it and I'm not. But, you know, the little guy, he's figured out what a spoon is for. And I think about the children that come into our lives. I think about the responsibility that parents have and how many miss the opportunity to see that God has given them this great blessing. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, when he was preaching the gospel and when he was here on earth and he was fulfilling all of the commandments that and all of the prophecies that God had given to him, how he spoke about his own love for children, to allow the children to come to him, that he wanted to minister to them. He wanted to be surrounded by them. Why? Because they're so special. And when we think about being called, even the Christian, a child of God, that we're seen as the sons and the daughters, of the Heavenly Father, of our Savior, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. How special that description is, how special that name is, that God would look at us. And along with this scripture, talk about how these children that we have, William and Logan and Cody and Chloe, in my case, are so special to me. And how Coulter and Cindy and Richard and Jim and Rick are so special to God. God loves us, and children are a gift that's intended to be nurtured and appreciated and valued. The second thing that we see in the making of an arrow is in verse 4 it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Now, I think it was interesting. When I first thought about this message, when it was first given to me years ago and I researched it, I thought it was interesting that God would compare a child to an arrow. An arrow. Now, in the day that this was written, you know, there were no firearms or those type things. And so an arrow was incredibly important to people, having some skills with a bow. It wasn't necessarily just that you might defend yourself, but it was the ability that people might survive, that they might be able to, take down game and have protein for their families. And the description here, it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. And children are a responsibility that we have. You begin to think about the role of bringing up a child and the responsibility that comes to a parent. And by the way, I think sometimes that's where the problem comes in. It's not necessarily that people hate children or they despise the role of being a parent, but it comes with a certain set of responsibility, a certain set of requirements. And I'm going to tell you straightforward that as parents, we will give an account one day of the things that we've done in our lives with our children. None of us is perfect, and I'm the poster child for that. I wish a lot of things I could have done differently as a dad, but I'm telling you that all of us will wish we had done things differently one day when we stand before God, when we give an account of the deeds and the words said in this body. But this idea of the arrow being in the hand of a mighty man, it talks about the responsibility to bring structure, to bring skill, to bring the things to the life of that young person, to help them become what God had intended for them to be. There are three things here I want you to see, that there's the potential, there's the pattern, and there's the process when it comes to an arrow. First of all, an arrow, it has no energy, it has no power of its own. It's really not either good or it's bad. It's neither one. It operates through the power of the one that's holding it. It goes in the direction of the one who applies energy to it and shoots it out in that way. And I think about the young people that we've worked with through the years as we work with not only the pastor of the small church, but the youth groups that we worked with. And each one of those young people that we saw, quite frankly, sometimes we didn't know their families. Sometimes we didn't see their families. Sometimes, we didn't know what their background was. You can guess. You often guess wrong, but you can guess. But we saw the potential that every one of them had to be the person that God had called them to be. Good was what God had intended for them to be. Unfortunately, some of them chose the wrong road. They chose to yield themselves to the wrong power. They went in the wrong direction. And I thought about this idea of being an arrow in the hand of a mighty man. And some of the children that were famous in the Word of God that we might apply this to, there were those that were bent arrows, those that did not go in the path that their parents had intended for them. You think about the children of David. What a mess, you know, some of that was. You think about the children of Solomon. Now, Solomon came out okay. He goes off the scene. The Lord takes him, and it just all goes to pieces. You think about the children of Isaac. Think about the children of Eli. And we could go through this list, and we could see those where, even though their parents served God, it wasn't a guarantee that they would be a straight arrow and that they would go in the path that God had chosen for them. They chose to make their own decisions. But here's the thing you need to learn, church. The parents did not have to suffer through the guilt of saying, I did it all wrong. Wow, if I could have just went back, 1,000 things I would have done differently. They saw the potential, they applied the potential to it, and they tried to make this child as straight of an arrow as they could be. Now, we've all heard that expression that that person is a Boy Scout. That person flies. That person's just straight as an arrow. I looked up the background on that, and in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse is given the verse that this references. When you look up the commentaries, they commonly refer this back to Matthew, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. And I like this, and it was the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Starting at the 13th verse, Jesus was exhorting people. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Look at verse 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. And the expression straight as an arrow is applied to this particular scripture. Straight as an arrow, the straight and the narrow. And the potential was there for these bent arrows, the children of David and Isaac and Solomon and Eli and others, to go in the way that they saw their parents go. They didn't go that way. And then you begin to look at the children of others, and you begin to look at Solomon himself and Timothy, who Paul exhorted as being like his grandmother and his mother and the pattern that they'd followed. And you think about Joseph. Joseph was a young man who, when he was separated from his family and he was wickedly abused by his brothers and abandoned and sold into slavery and the people around him did him such dishonor and it seemed like everything was around him. When Joseph could have compromised multiple times, he was a straight arrow. His father had put into him and God had put into his potential, put into his heart that he might reach his potential. So the potential, often for an arrow, is neither good nor bad. It operates through the power, and there is a choice where the young people will choose to go their way. The second thing is there's a pattern. And when you think about an arrow, I'm sure there's probably some creative way that you could make an arrow and 3D print it and what have you. But let me tell you, in this day, there was one pattern for an arrow. It was simple. It had a wooden stem to it. It had a projectile on the end of it, probably something fairly simple. It had a notch in the back of it, a nock in the back of it. It had the fletching on it that gave it direction. But there was one simple design. Now, I'm going to give you a verse that fits with that. I want you to think about, in fact, let's turn there, the book of John, the 14th chapter. And we think about all of the complexity and all of the choices that we see in life around us today. But I want you to look at John chapter 14, verse 6 with me. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. One simple design, that we might know the forgiveness of God and that we might have eternal life. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. An arrow has one pattern. Peace with God has one pattern. And I'm so glad for parents and grandparents who recognize that the greatest potential that your child has is going to be also rooted in the Word of God. I work with people, and I've got families that are really good at math, really, really smart, and complicated formulas, all that kind of stuff, all that just goes together, you know, in their mind. And I've come to the age that I no longer have to do math in my head, which is a good thing, because I found it's often not pretty anymore. You know, the things that were easy for me when I was 13, 18, 23 years old, math isn't one of them anymore. But folks, I'm telling you that there's one simple design, and God has put everything that we need to know, really, to have a great life here in the Word of God. When we begin to look at the pattern that God has given to us, we're in uncertain times. But I can show you in the Word of God where it talks about uncertainty, it talks about faith, it talks about confidence, it talks about dealing with debt, it talks about dealing with people who don't get along with us. And how we might, you know, not only seek God, but how we might follow in the path of the Lord Jesus Christ and others that are mentioned in the Word of God about how we might try to have peace with them. A soft answer turneth away wrath. That's a pattern. You can't always speak soft. I mean, sometimes there's a time to be very strong and very rigid in things, particularly when it comes to doctrine. But I'm telling you that the pattern to make an arrow is based upon the Word of God. And the differences that we make in our child's life by putting that Word in there cannot be overstated. It's so important that they understand the standards, the expectations that God has. Listen, none of us is ever going to live up to exactly what God wants us to. That's why the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags before Him. But we ought to know what the rules are. We ought to know where the boundaries are. We ought to know the love of God and the precepts and the testimony through the Word of God, through the Bible, and hide those things in our heart and live towards those expectations. So the making of an arrow, the responsibility of the parent towards the child, there's the potential of the child, there's the pattern for what the arrow might be, and then there's the process itself. And I broke this down really, really simple into just a couple of parts. Now, I like to work with wood, and, I'm not particularly skilled at it, what have you. I don't make any claims about it. In fact, I remember when I was first new at the church, they were building the shelter out here, and Pastor Vinoy had asked me if I might have some time to help him with something. And he handed me a board, I think it was a 2x6, gave me an exact measurement, and said, "Now, Brother Steve, I don't have any more wood, so be really careful with this." So I went outside, and I marked it carefully, and I cut it. And when I brought it back in, I think it was about an eighth of an inch too short. And he looked at me, and I said, "I could cut it again." I didn't say that anymore after that. And I also noticed that the pastor has not invited me to come back and cut wood with him anymore. But we do have the men in the church who do that kind of stuff very well, and I thank God for you that you'll have long life and great health and what have you. So I'm not much of a woodworker, but I am going to tell you from my experiences with my own family and particularly young people, I love children and I see the potential that's in them, the process to make an arrow. The first thing you do is you start with a piece of wood. Now, hopefully you've got something that's fairly straight. From the different things I've read, it really doesn't necessarily matter a tremendous amount what kind of wood it is. You can make an arrow from different kinds of wood. You take it, you get something that's about the right size, the right shape, and you begin to clean it. You knock away the things that are on the outside, the bark and any non-conformities. You try to get it as smooth and round as you can. Now, that's the beginning part. And then you get the chance to shape that wood, to shape that arrow. And there are two different processes that are called out for a wooden arrow. The first is when the wood is wet. It's young. It's got sap in it. It's pliable, as it were. And basically they say there, really all you have to kind of do is just, put it in the right form and hold it for a little while, and the sap will dry out, and it'll pretty much be about as straight as you want. The second process is something that's, they call it the dry process. It's a little tougher. And believe me, I've seen this with young people. I've seen this with older people. I've seen this with everybody. Sometimes we see it in our own life. In the dry process, the wood's already kind of taken a shape. And it's not exactly straight. Its potential is not there, because if you were to make an arrow out of this with this bend in it, you never know where it's going to go. It could go left. It could go right. If it was a time of war, you could hit one of your own guys. If it was a time of harvest, you might miss the deer by 3 feet. So you need a straight arrow to go. And this process of shaping a dry arrow involves two things: heat and pressure. Heat and pressure. And I wonder, in the life of the child or the teenager, what have you, I tell you what, I think sometimes God uses the same technique on those of us who've been saved for a long time. If we're not as malleable, if we're not as pliable, if we're not as filled with sap and as ready to conform to His will, sometimes the way that God wants to straighten us up is He has to apply heat and He has to apply pressure. Let me tell you what those things look like. If you're getting an email from somebody or a phone call from somebody, it's about 3:15 a.m. in the morning. That may be the sign of heat and pressure. You show up and you say, hey, I haven't been able to sleep. I'm losing weight. I haven't been able to eat. I've got no confidence. I've got no peace in myself. That could be God shaping you as a child of God into the arrow that He would have it to be. Amen? But when we begin to think about the responsibility of raising our children, we start with the wood, and it doesn't have to be anything special, and we begin to prepare it. We remove the knots and what have you. We then begin to make it as straight absolutely as we can, so it will fly, so it will travel in the intended direction. The third thing in this very simplified step is you begin to put a knock or a notch in the very back of it. And this is a really important part of it. You see, if you left the back of it just flat, when you pull it against the string, maybe it goes, maybe it doesn't go. But the knock in the back of it is just a very simple groove, so that when you pull it back onto the string itself, it's able to receive. It's able to accept the power that is intended to be transferred to it. It's going to be able to move forward because it's been pushed in that direction. I think about how God prepares us in our life at different times to be at exactly the right place, perhaps to receive something, or perhaps to give something to someone. Maybe you're the string and they're the knock in this situation. Or maybe, you're the notch and they're the string. I think about the ladies who've come to sing for us. And I cannot tell you with eloquence of words how beautiful it has been to hear these ladies sing. The old songs of the faith they sang this past week, and just so very thankful for that. Just a blessing. They didn't realize when they came that they were going to bring something to those that were here in the congregation, just a few of us. What a blessing that would be to encourage us, to give us energy, to send us on our way. When we begin to shape our children, I think we need to teach them that the Word of God is not a one-and-done event. Salvation is eternal. We get right with God, and we've got that settled. But the Word of God is intended to speak to us. The Holy Spirit comes and moves us, and when we make ourselves available to Him, like Brother Coulter has, and the ministry has, and Brother Rick, and I think about Brother Alan Davis and the Ford family who left behind all the things here that they might go and minister. People all over the world, when they say, God, I'm willing to receive, I'm ready to have in my life the things that You would have me to be, go send me. That's the receiving of that word. And we need to prepare our children. We need to prepare our own hearts that we might receive these things. And then it is a very simplified process. We take the wood and we straighten it, and we put the knock in the back of it that we can transfer the energy from the string to it. And then the last step, probably one of the most important and most difficult steps, is to attach the fletching. The fletching is the part of the arrows that in this day it would have been feathers and what have you. Today, you see it made from different, I guess, synthetic materials. But in this day, that would have been incredibly important because it helped to cause the arrow to spin with the right amount of direction, which gave it accuracy. And it gave it the ability to hit the target that you were looking. You know, you think about the old movies, and if you've ever seen, and quite frankly, if you've ever seen anybody who was really talented with a bow, it was amazing to watch the skill that they had. Part of that is their skill, their ability to know how to aim and how to judge wind direction and how to compensate for distance. And then part of it is they had a great arrow with the right fletching. One of the things that's so important in getting the fletching onto the arrow, well, two things. The first is they said it was better when you put the feathers that were there if they came from a male bird. Now, I guess it's because of the bristles or the way that the feathers grew on the male bird. I don't know. But I can tell you that little boys need a strong male role in their life. That's the truth. They need somebody who can show them what it looks like to be a man. And the circumstances of life are going to challenge them, and they need that dad, that granddad, that mentor to go to talk to. There's no shame in that. That's the way it's supposed to work. I mean, think about all the men in the Word of God who were so capable of so many great, mighty things like Elijah. And yet, there was a time when they were challenged. They went back to their father, their heavenly father, and asked for direction. This fletching, it said it was better if it was from a male, and I believe that families, they really need a strong mom, and she has a great, wonderful role in that, and I'm so thankful for moms, and they need dad, and they need the role that God had intended him for him to play in that family. They both work together. They're fitly joined together that they might raise this family and create the arrow that God had intended. The second thing about the fletching is not only it's best if it comes from a male, but the second thing is that the direction that the feathers face cannot be mixed. It's got to be consistent. So that when you apply these things and the wind begins to pass through this, you know, as it flies through the air, it's all working together. Folks, I said that to say this. Our life needs to be consistent. When I was working in different roles, one of the things I always valued was consistency. If something is broken, and it's broken all the time, you can address that. If something is great and it just operates seamlessly, you never have a problem, you know, you're happy with that. But the thing that drives you crazy is it worked yesterday and it didn't work today and it might work tomorrow and I don't know, you know, and last time I touched this and over here, you know, I hit it with this wrench. Inconsistency is tough. It's real tough when you're raising children. And it's real tough in the church, and it's real tough in the families. It's tough in the workplace around us. God has called us to be stable. In fact, one of my favorite scriptures in the Word of God from the book of James, it says a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. It talks about the inconsistency. As we raise our children, I think they need to see no mixed direction. They need to see, you know, the Word of God being important to us when we're in church. They need to say that the words that we say at home are the same words that we say when we're in the house of God. They need to see that consistency so that when we go home and we speak of the pastor, we speak of people in leadership, that we speak consistently across that mix. You understand what I'm saying? That they can't see us as being double-minded. One person under this circumstance, and one person under that circumstance, I guarantee you they will pick up on that, and your arrow will have a mixed direction to the feathers. So simple process, wood that you straighten, hopefully when it's wet, when it's pliable, but if not, under dry conditions, that's when people are resistant to it. You see the knock, you see the notch in it, you see the fletching. You got an arrow. The Bible tells us here in verse 4, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. And then we go to verse 5. It says, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gate. Children are a blessing. I want you to think about the words that were given here, happy. The definition for the word happy, contentment. Satisfaction, confidence, feeling fortunate. There's a young lady that God allowed to enter our life, probably the better part of about 15 years ago. Her name is Kendra. And I had the opportunity to see something this morning. I logged into the way I do my work these days, and there was a note there that she's getting ready to graduate from college. And it was talking about the work that she's going to do and the role she's going to have. And it reminded me of what a great arrow her parents have helped shape her into in her life, and a lot of other people, great Sunday school teachers, wonderful friends, and she's just a wonderful person. This young lady was born under the most unusual circumstances. I was trying to ask Cindy, and we couldn't remember the number, but when she was born, she weighed less than 2 pounds. She was tiny. She spent quite a bit of time, in Knoxville under the, in an incubator, and in those circumstances, they always kind of, the uncertainty about, whether they live or, what happens. But Kendra grew up to be from 2 pounds to being still a small person. But I can tell you this, she's a big person when she walks in the room. She has a smile that is absolutely contagious. She has a soft voice, but she uses words that just make everybody feel big about themselves. What I'm telling you is I know of people who got it right. I know of people who did a great job with their kids, and their kids bounced off something. They chose to be an arrow that went a different direction. The parents got it right, but still the children didn't go, the way that they should have. There's a word that's used here in verse 5. It says, they, it's talking about the parents, it's talking about the mighty man who has these children that have been given to him as the gift of God and the responsibility he's taken in crafting them. And look at the words that's used. It says, they shall not be ashamed. No shame, no guilt. They did the very best that they could according to the word of God. Sometimes it just goes flawlessly, and you end up with a Kendra. You end up with a wonderful young person who just loves God and is infectious in every positive way that a person can be. They exemplify the quality. And then, Pastor Vinoy, I go to the prison ministry, and you end up with people who are there in front of you, and they say, I wish I would have. And they're dealing with shame in their own life. Before they closed the doors to the ministry in the jail, there was a young man, very precious. He said, my daughter's in the sixth grade, and she wrote a letter to me. And because I'm here in prison and the terrible things I've done, she fussed at me and told me how I had impacted her life. There's a man who, because he went the wrong direction with his arrow, his daughter's looking at that, and he's dealing with the guilt, with the shame about the things he's done in his own life. The psalmist went on, and he finished verse 5. He says, but, they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And I think this talks about the confidence that we gain from having children that are godly children, that are a blessing to us, that we recognize that God has given us this gift really, truly, for only a few years when they're little and they're learning to eat, rice pudding and they're doing somersaults in the yard and they're playing volleyball and hey, Dad, teach me how to drive the car and show me how to change the oil and let's work on the engine in the car and let's do these things, right? Hey, church. We're blessed when we get those moments. It's not that our kids are a burden or they cost us money or we can't go out and do the things we ought not to be doing anyways. God has given us this gift, the opportunity to make an arrow. I want to close with this. The pastor's getting ready to restart the church, as it were, to reopen this. And just in a few days, we're going to have, folks that are going to show up and they're going to set every other aisle and we'll have families that set together and all those positive things. I wish we could go back to the month of March. I wish we could go back to earlier in April, and I wish we could do things differently. But you know what the fact of the matter is? We can't do March over. I can't do, 1993 over. I can't do last year over. But every one of us has the opportunity to do things differently going forward. What if God put it in your heart, really motivated you, and gave you the passion and the energy to become the parent that you want to be, to become the grandparent that He's called you to be, to become that mentor, maybe to some child who doesn't have, through circumstances of life, a father or ladies, a mother, what have you. What if God has put you in that role, that opportunity, given you that exposure one to another, that you might help that arrow to become what God would have it to be? What would it take for all of us to do things differently, to get back into God's Word, not only for the sake of others, but for ourselves? To say, God, would you come into my heart? Just lead me in the way you would have me to be. Take me back to those first few moments, Lord, where I first knew you as my Savior. How sweet that experience was. How positive that relationship was. There was nothing in the world to me that was any more exciting than coming to church and learning something new from the Word of God and feeling the Holy Spirit lead me in my life. Folks, the making of an arrow. It talks in verse 4, it says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. We've talked about how we make an arrow. I guess one question that's left for us, the challenge is, how do we become a mighty man? How do we become a mightier man? How do we become that person that God has intended for us to be? My challenge to each one of us, the world changed somewhere in March. And it's been real strange in April. I'll be so glad to see the folks come back. I'll be glad to the point where, I can take my wife and family out for dinner, or we can just, go for a walk in the park, whatever those things are, whatever the new normal becomes. But folks, I'm so thankful. I am for the children that God has blessed Cindy and myself with. They're not perfect. They didn't have a chance. They got me in their DNA. They never had a role. So thankful for them and for, Tyler and for Brad and for Kendra and for just so many others that God has given them great parents, the Word of God, great pastors, and the opportunity to be the arrow that God's called them to be. Folks, I challenge us, not you, but I challenge us, to improve our relationship with God, because the generation that's coming after us is going to face challenges we probably have never even considered in our life. Just like this coronavirus came on us, they're going to face things. They're going to need the Word of God. They're going to need to be an arrow. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to stand here this evening. Lord, I actually went longer than I'd intended to, but Lord, I thank you for the direction you gave me, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, which leads us in all things. Lord, parents, I hope watching this tonight, Lord, I hope that each one of us will be touched by your word, realize what a blessing it is to have a child, the tremendous responsibility that you've given us, and Lord, how happy those children make us. Lord, the joy that just comes from the most important thing of all. It's not what we write in our will. It's not that we have any possessions or we don't have any possessions, but the blessing that you've given us, family, Lord, it is the thing that we would run into a burning building for is our children, our wife, our family. Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ who died upon the cross of Calvary that we might have forgiveness of our sins through his blood. Lord, help us to be the Christian you would have us to be. Help us to be the parents that you've called us to be. Lord, help us to be the church members that are faithful, encouraging, and kind. Lord, merciful to those that we encounter who aren't part of the church. Lord, lead us in all things, we pray. This we ask in your blessed name. Amen. And church, we will see you on Sunday morning, no later than 11 a.m. Have a good evening.